Representative Richard E. Hamill. Mr. Hamill, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Tony. Thanks for the invitation. Just driving in the rain.
Well, you know what? If you really wield some power, why don't you bring us some sunshine?
Well, we have had a little bit of that lately, but we're looking forward to more later. So thanks.
I wanted to talk with you about several topics. First of all, wanted to speak with seniors on critical retirement issues. This is a big, big deal for you. This is something that you did yesterday. Talk about that.
Well, yesterday was Older Michiganians Day at the Capitol, and we had, I don't know, maybe 1,000 seniors or so down there to talk about issues that are important to them. And one of the things that was very important was the senior protection package, something that provided some guarantees against financial abuse and physical abuse for seniors when they're in a position that they can't protect themselves. And we've introduced that legislation for the last 2 years, and it's been stalled in the Senate then, back in the last term. But now I'm encouraged to see that the Senate has decided that they would basically introduce the same legislation that we had the last 2 years. So that's encouraging.
So where do you plan? Where do you see this bill ending up, and how soon?
Well, it's a pretty comprehensive package. It's, we have like 20 bills that we introduced in the House this time. I would assume that it would get going pretty quickly. I think the senator that chairs the committee is going to have the hearing here very soon, and so I would expect maybe before the end of the month we'll get an idea about just what it's going to look like.
Tell us about some of the highlights of those bills.
A couple of the pieces are higher penalties for people who are caregivers and guardians of seniors who take advantage of their financial assets, making sure that there are safeguards in the banking institutions to say that someone just can't come in and take money out of a senior's account without some authorization. Obviously, there are cases when that has to be done, but we want to make sure that we protect folks in the future. Higher penalties for people who do things like that. So I think it's pretty comprehensive, and I'd say there's probably 4 or 5 issues that are really, really important to seniors outside of all the stuff that's in there.
I received a press release from your office yesterday that's stated you are voicing your opposition to yet, as you term it, another Republican attack on the middle class and seniors, this time by stripping away retiree health care. First it was the pension tax, the elimination of the homestead property tax, and now you think that Republicans are even moving forward. Talk about that.
Yeah, this week in committee, I believe there'll be some bills that will be up for review that actually strip away retiree health care for employees of the state and others that have been there for quite some time. And at the same time that last year we passed a bill that would require them to pay into retiree health care, which, they weren't too happy about it, but I think it's a better option. So why don't we let that play out and see what kind of effect it has on the retiree health care liability the state has before we go in and just completely strip it retiree health care away from people who worked awful hard to make sure that they guaranteed that.
Well, you understand how those retirees worked for all those years and figured and were told that you're going to be getting this once you stop working. But here you have a state that was $2 billion in debt. How can the state continue to keep paying for these benefits if they don't have the money?
Well, one thing was to have them help pay into that fund, which has happened. There's a lot of options around the state where you've seen that by creating a VEBA or a retirement similar system for retiree health care that has worked by having the state as or a municipality and employees both pay into this fund that guarantees the security over time. And that's what we have done last year. My bill was the VEBA bill that established the opportunity to try to pre-fund this. All the state has to do now that we've made all these changes, as well as offering options for employees, is to begin to pay into that to pre-fund it, so it would help make sure that we have some guarantees for the future for employees.
Do you really believe that the Republicans are attacking the middle class and the seniors?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I mean, if you look at it from the federal level to now, I mean, we're asking seniors to pay taxes. We're taking away very important deductions on your income taxes. All of the things that you've seen when it's come to legislation that's passed over the past 6 months have attacked collective bargaining rights and options for folks to have to be able to work with management. We've dictated to local governments and schools now that this is what's going to happen, as opposed to forcing them to do their job, which is negotiate at the table locally. Because they're afraid to do that, we now are taking that over. And that is not the way it's supposed to be.
Well, it's been said by the opposition that unions wielded too much power and were making promises that the state's not able to keep any longer. How do you react to that?
Well, obviously, both sides have a lot of power, but when they sit down and talk and the situation becomes realistic to both sides, changes get made. I mean, there's no better example than the UAW. And what's always lost in this argument is there's been almost $1 billion in concessions by state employees over the past several years, and no one's talking about that. They're paying more into their retiree health care. They're paying into their own health care. They've taken furlough days, reductions in pay and benefits all along. But no one said that that's actually happened. So they have been willing to sit down and talk, but this governor has not taken the time to make that happen. And so why don't we do that at the table as opposed to legislating contracts? That's not the way we should be doing business. We should be doing it the way it was intended by the government and by these laws that were put in place.
You know, I see, as a journalist, I see myself in the middle of this tug of war. You have one side that says we're $2 billion in the hole. We can't wait for collective bargaining. The unions are asking too much. And yet you have the other side that says senior citizens, the middle class is being destroyed. This is a planned effort. How do we know what to believe?
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's, you know, people can be confused, been confused for quite some time. And, you know, we're just trying to state the facts. And we ask people to look at the legislation that's been introduced. We ask people to look at the effect on the folks that are going to be affected the most. At the same time we're doing all this, we're having a $1.8 billion tax cut for corporations when it's a time where corporate profits are as high as they've ever been. And to think that maybe you can reduce taxes for businesses, that you're going to have automatic investment and create jobs, is not going to happen. And I think that's our argument. Let's have a balance between helping business and making sure that we preserve the integrity of what the things that we promised people here at the state level. Not only state employees, but state services are going to be dramatically cut also.
Representative, where do you stand on the bridge from Detroit to Windsor? Do you support it? Do you oppose it? And from your perspective, where do we stand on this issue?
I support the bridge. We have supported the bridge to House Dems over the last couple of years through legislation and the budget. And I think I want to see community benefits be part of it, because I think when you're affecting a local community that much, it's important we have some safeguards there. I'm not sure where it's going to go. It's really in Republican hands right now to determine whether or not they want to support it. So I would say in the next couple of weeks we'll start to see really whether it's going to be a realistic thing or not.
Should government be building and operating a bridge?
I think this is a great opportunity for a public-private partnership. You're going to have involvement from the private sector as well as the public sector. And, you know, there's a heck of a lot of big projects around this country that happen because people had the foresight to see how important it would be for not only the community that's affected by the state or the country. We've gotten away from that. We need to start looking at those things and making sure that we're prepared for the future.
All right, before we let you go, tell us, what is legislation that we should look to be coming down the hopper? What's going to be the hot topic over the next couple of weeks?
I think you'll see redistricting stuff happen next week. You'll see these retiree health care bills come up, I believe. There's an 80-20 bill, which means public employees and local employees and state employees will be paying 20% of their health care or a hard cap. There's negotiations on that. There's partial birth abortion vote. There's a lot going on this month, so it'll be a pretty busy month in Lansing.
Richard E. Hamill is the House Democratic leader. Thanks so much, Representative. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, Tony. Thank you.